It's nice that I can pay Andy say things like that, you know. Bless his heart. I didn't know he was going to do that, or I probably wouldn't have let him. This is my little stand tonight, I guess. This will work. You know, I have a lot of fond memories in relationship to this group. There's still, of course, developing memories, because I'm here right now in the present. But I remember those 8 or 10 people. We had this wild notion. I had this wild notion almost 10 years ago to start a professionals group. We called it New Life Professionals then. Basically, it was just a conglomeration of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 singles that were at Evergreen at the time. And we used to meet at Versailles Apartments. We tried to, I don't know if you know Versailles Apartments. Years past, Hulk Hogan used to live there. It's one of the, probably isn't anymore, but at one time it was the largest apartment complex in the Twin Cities. It's right around the corner from my house. And so we used the party room. That was our meeting room. And we had singles strategically living it. There's four big buildings there. And we were just praying that God would use us and that God would raise up men and women who had come to know Christ, who would want to serve the Lord. And to be here this weekend and see 400 of you, it's really an exciting thing. Of course, there's even more than that. They come to Evergreen, but not all can make it this weekend. I just want to let you know, personally, from me to you, how proud I am of this group. How proud I am of the men and women that are in this group this evening. There's a lot of things that single people do with their lives. There's a lot of things, of course, that Christian single people do with their lives. And there are a lot of dear singles who love the Lord all over the country and all over the United States. And I know a lot of them. I've been in touch with some of them. But I just want you to know that I'm very proud of you. I'm very thankful for the decisions that you all are making in your lives to live for Christ, to love the Lord, to seek the Lord. I know it's not easy. I know it's difficult. I know it has many, many challenges. But I'm very touched to see so many of you here this weekend because you're hungry for God, because you're thirsty for righteousness, because you want to learn and you want to be what God wants you to be. And you don't know how much that touches my heart. How encouraging it is to see this conglomeration, this variety, this all different ages in this room this evening who are hungry to hear what God has to say. It really touches my heart. I also want to let you know that, you know, the person we want to hear from this weekend is the Lord. The last 2 days, they've been a real struggle for me. I came up here yesterday morning, and I've been praying and praying and seeking the Lord, and I just feel like I've been drawing a blank, just like hitting a wall, a concrete wall. And I can't really explain it. My back's been bothering me. I've been wearing a brace, laying on ice, going to the chiropractor, and I've been sitting and standing. I can hardly concentrate. And I just felt like, Lord, you must want to do something. And then all of a sudden, this monstrous storm comes through Burlington, you know. I'm thinking, my goodness, Lord, we're praying for good weather. And all these folks are going to be in a traffic jam, and the cars are going to get dented. And I'll tell you some of those stories tomorrow. I'm going to save some of them and use them. But that very thing happened for many of you in this room, and some of your homes were damaged. And I don't know why the Lord just prompted me. I called home at about 4:20, and my daughter was at home alone with her little brother just as the storm was hitting. And she was pretty scared, and it was a pretty neat thing that I called right at that time. So I was consoling her on the phone. She was in the basement, and everything's fine. But, you know, you wonder sometimes, why do things happen? Why do things happen? Why the timing? Why does it seem like Lord is trying to live for you, and it's just a struggle? Why don't things just go easier, Lord? You know, and so you drive up here and you got the stress from work and you got the stress in rush hour traffic and some of your homes got hit or your cars are look like someone took a ball peen hammer to the thing. You know what I wanted to do tonight is I just want to take time this evening for us to reflect on what it is we have this evening. I want to take time. You know, we have busy lives. And I know a lot of you have a lot of things that are on your mind. A lot of things that you're concerned about. A lot of things that you're worried about. A lot of things that weigh on you. I have them as well. And I thought it'd be a good idea before we really get into the content of the conference, if we just took this evening and focused on just how fortunate we really are in Jesus Christ. And just how blessed we really are tonight. You know, if you ask yourself this question, what is on God's mind? You know, you hear that a lot of conferences. God's heart burns for people. And we hear that over and over and over. But you know who's on God's heart the most? Is you. When I was a new father, my son turned 17 today. I missed his birthday to be with you. But he understood. We talked it all through before I left. I called him last night, called him this morning, called him this afternoon, said happy birthday, and when I get home, we'll go out to lunch. He understands what we're doing and why we're doing it. But when I love little children, and some of you probably do as well. Little children, I just like am drawn to little children. Like some people are drawn to cars, some people are drawn to, you know, a motorcycle. I just see a little baby and I just want to touch him, hold him. But never so much as my own. And I remember when my children, we first brought them home, of course, one at a time, in our case. And I remember when Celeste was first born. And we brought her home. All I wanted to do was hold her. It's just all I wanted to do was hold her and stroke her little cheeks. She was born Caesarean, so when you're born Caesarean, your head's perfectly round. She just had a little perfect round bobby head with black lock of hair. And at night, when my wife didn't know it, because she didn't like me doing this, I'd sneak into her room, and I'd look at her. And of course, I couldn't just look. Had to touch. Of course, you know, then she'd wake up. So then I had to pretend that I didn't wake her up because Kathy was a little upset because she was trying to get sleep. You know how it is. You're nursing the baby, trying to sleep, and all that kind of stuff. So it's a little rough. But I just couldn't help myself. You know, I just wanted to see my kid. This is my kid. Of course, then she grew up, and then it was Jeremy. Jeremy cried a lot. When he was little, he had colic a lot. He'd just cry and cry. And you know, after a while, it did get old. But I just used to love to hold this little round, pudgy kid. And then little Jesse came along. Now, Jesse, she's a real mama's girl. She didn't like me. I mean, I don't even know if she knew what it meant to not like or like. She just wanted mom. And I remember, you know, when Jessie was real little, of course, I could hold her because she didn't know any different. But when she got to be about 8 or 9 months, she knew the difference. She wanted mom. And then she got to be about 2, she still wanted mom. So what I'd do is, Jessie loved oranges. So I'd bribe her. The only way she could have the orange is she sat on my lap. So I'd feed her the orange like a little monkey, you know. And then off she'd go. As soon as that orange was done, she was off. And now we're best of friends. And then Micah came along. Micah was my only child. He's a native Minnesotan. And Micah's 9. And Micah was really a mama's boy. When I say that, I mean he really loved mom. And I would try everything. And now, what was really hard about Micah was he was my last, and I knew he was my last. It wasn't like, you know, we planned it. We'd planned it. This is the last one because of my wife's health, her back, etc., her veins. We couldn't have any more. So I knew this is my last chance of the baby. And try as I might, Micah, he just wouldn't stay on my lap. Boy, he just scooped down and off he'd go, you know. And I used to go in my room and cry. I used to think, Lord, he just doesn't understand. He just doesn't get it. He's my last one. He didn't know that. He's my last baby. I've learned a lot about God having kids. Let me tell you something about the Lord. He loves to look at you. He loves to sneak in your room at night. And he can't wait to get his hands on you. I believe it takes all of God's power, to keep from coming back, is two things you have to understand about you and God. First of all, you're His bride. I could talk a long time about that, but I won't. You're His bride. And second of all, you're His children. You're His kids. And you know, sometimes with the Lord, we're like little Micah. We really don't have time for God. But God sure has time for you. No matter where you're at in your day, no matter what's going on in your life, God is interested in everything that's going on in your world. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too small. You never grow up, see, with God. I mean, how are you going to catch up with God? God's the eternal, ultimate Father. And you may think, you know, I've known the Lord 5 years now, Mark. I'm pretty grown. Maybe you are, humanly speaking, but to God, you're still a kid. And He loves you. He loves you tenderly. Let me tell you something else about fathers. Well, it's true for me. It probably isn't true for all fathers. But I know a number that it is. I love to do things for my kids. I mean, I love it. I mean, it really brings me a lot of joy. For example, a few months ago, when Jeremy was really little, we used to play Nintendo together. You know, the first Nintendo, the Mario. It would just make that sound over and over. Just the simple Mario. He and I, you know, we had hours of fun playing Mario together. Problem is, the games outgrew my ability. And the new Mario, I can't touch. You know, the new Sonic the Hedgehog, I can't handle all the multiple phases. Micah, he really likes playing these Mario games. So one day I was in Target, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to surprise Micah. I'm going to buy the new Nintendo 64 system and get him that game, and I'm going to bring it home. I forget what game it was. I just got it. I'm getting old. But anyway, I don't know what the name of it was, but it was really a fun game, and he really wanted it. Man, you should have seen his eyeballs pop out when I walked in. I made him close his eyes and said, I got a surprise for you, Mike, and I pulled it out of the sack. Wow, Dad, this is awesome. And he's jumping up and down. You know, it's just a rush. Or my two older children. You know, I'm not, like, I don't get the wrong impression. I'm not made of money or anything like that. But my older children, my two oldest, are just about done. They got about 3 weeks left of their second year of college, and then they're off for the summer for the first time. They'll be gone all summer. I'm not really looking forward to it, but God will help me handle it. And my kids, you know, they've trusted me, and they've waited a little longer than most people to get their license. My daughter just got her. She's 18, and my son, he'll get his, I think, in a week or two. And I've been looking for a car, and I've been praying that God would help me get a car for them. And I remember the joy that I had just checking out cars, looking every Saturday morning in the transportation thrifty section and praying, God, give me just the right car. And God giving me just the right car for just the right money. Like this car, you know, it's worth about $3,000. The guy sold it to me for $800. And a friend came over, and man, it's just got everything on it. It's nicer than any car I've had up until about 4 years ago. Why am I telling you all this? I'm not telling you to make you want to have a family. That's not why I'm telling you all this. I'm telling you all this because I pale in comparison as a father to God. And the way I feel towards my children, God feels towards you. God loves to bless you. God loves to look for ways to do you good. God likes to make your day. I was standing in Super America last night, and it was before I came, it wasn't last night, it was the night before, and I was getting all my family's cars filled with gas. I tried to serve them that way and keep all the vehicles serviced and filled with gas. So I was standing in line waiting to pay, and there was this huge line of people. And I'm thinking, well, what in the world? It's like 9 o'clock, why are all these people here? Finally, this guy comes huffing and puffing, running in. He goes, is it still open? Is it still open? And he goes, no, we just closed. He goes, oh, man, there's $85 million in the lottery tonight. I wanted a ticket. I just couldn't believe it. All these people were in line waiting to get a chance to win $85 million. And I almost said something, but I didn't because I knew it would be offensive. But I walked out of there with a smile on my face. And I lifted my step and I thought, Lord, this is fantastic. I won the lottery. You won the lottery. You won the biggest lottery in the world, the spiritual lottery. And you are among the wealthiest people in the world. We are together joint heirs with someone quite a bit wealthier than Mr. Gates. And I know for a fact that if you came here tonight and you happened to have the winning ticket of the lottery and you knew that on the way up here, you'd be a little excited. Your worries would sort of dissipate. Your concerns would sort of seem insignificant. I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 32. Just a couple of verses that I want to share with you tonight. I don't know how to get across to you. I try. It has to be the work of the Holy Spirit to somehow get across to you men and women just how blessed, how fortunate, how rich you really are. You have a charmed life. Now, you say to me, Mark, I don't feel like it. Well, we got to change your perspective, that's all. You may have a perspective problem tonight, but you don't have a wealth problem. You don't have a real problem. God's got you in His hand. And in Jeremiah chapter 32, one of my favorite verses says this, I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will never stop doing good to them, and I will inspire them to fear me, so they will never turn away from me. I will rejoice in doing them good and will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and soul. This is chapter 32 of Jeremiah and verse 40 through verse 41. You know what's awesome about that? Imagine how you would feel if some wealthy person decided to make you one of their, inherit their money. They decided to become your benefactor. Imagine how you'd feel. Imagine how blessed you'd feel if all of a sudden you just came into just a measly $100,000. Imagine how you'd feel if all of a sudden someone just said, I want to give you this home rent-free. My wife was telling me a story on Oprah Winfrey the other day. They call this series, I don't know what they call it, her angel program. And there was this woman on the program who, she and her little children and her husband had moved into a home. They'd saved for years to get out of the ghetto. They finally got into this home. And 2 months later, it burned to the ground. They lost everything. They ended up in a shelter. She and her final, I think it was 8 or 12 kids they had. They moved into this shelter. And this woman saw it on the news, and she and her husband, this couple, their house had burned down, happened to be black, and this couple who saw this happened to be white. And this husband and her wife had just recently got a home improvement loan, and it had just come through, and she saw this on the program. She saw this on the news that this family had lost everything. She and her husband got together. I thought to myself, they probably are Christians, but it didn't say that for sure. And she went with their home improvement money and bought that family a house and then went and delivered them to the home. And this woman's on TV, you know, and she's just crying and she's just sobbing. She and her family are so grateful. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt just so grateful? Just so overwhelmed with how good you've got it? You know, if we're honest, and I don't mean this as a rebuke, we don't seldom feel that way because we value material things so much greater than spiritual things. And secondly, we don't feel that way because we don't put ourselves into that state of being through meditation on what it is we've really got. You know what thankfulness is? It's living in the constant state of appreciation for what God has given to you. There's not a thing that God has withheld from you. Not a thing. And you may sit here tonight and go, oh man, I hope he didn't ask for questions and answers tonight, because the first thing I'll ask him is, then how come I'm not married? God's withheld that from me. Listen, there's not a thing that God has withheld from you that is for your benefit. And if it was for your benefit right now to have a spouse, God would do it. That's the God you have. That's the Heavenly Father you have. God only does you good, and He will inspire you with the goodness that He brings into your life. Now, of course, we have to choose that perspective. I admit that. We have to choose that perspective. But you know, it's not so hard to grasp if you just begin to think for a moment. You know, God's made the entire world. All of the galaxies, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planet that you live on. God made all of this for one reason. So you could be born on it. So you could live on it. So you could begin to recognize and understand that there's someone out there who cares about you. That you have a benefactor. Imagine for a moment that you live in an orphanage. And you wish to yourself more than anything that someone out there cared about you. Of course you know someone does. But all of a sudden, out of the blue, the headmaster at the orphanage comes to your room and says, you know, I don't know who this person is, but there's a package here that's arrived for you, and it's Friday afternoon. You dig into the package, and there in that package is your own television set. You think, this is kind of strange. This has never happened to me before. Next Friday afternoon, you're just minding your own business, and the headmaster comes up to your room and says, I don't know how to explain this, but there's another package here for you. There is? Yeah. And you open it up, and it's a Nintendo game with a game. Well, this is amazing. First the TV, then this. You think it's pretty exciting. Next Friday comes, and you think to yourself, just a little bit, I wonder. Nah, couldn't happen three times in a row. Headmaster comes up, knocks on your door. It's a package for you. It's a brand new bike. And the weeks go on, the weeks go on, and every Friday afternoon, there's a package for you. That's been going on for your whole life. God gave you your eyes, your nose, your hands, your feet. He lets you be born. He lets you see the sun. God's been going out of His way for you for all eternity. He set this whole thing in motion. And do you know something? Let me just share something with you. Do you know what it cost God to put the world in motion? Sometimes you think it was easy for God. No, it wasn't easy for God. Let me explain something to you. It's very critical you understand. The Bible says that Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God made the world with one giant catch. If God made the world, He had to give man a choice to love Him or not love Him. Which meant He made the world with the preordained plan that He'd kill His Son. God never meant for Adam and Eve not to sin. Don't you understand that? If Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, Jesus would have never got to die and you wouldn't be going to heaven. God orchestrated this, all this plan, just to show you, I love you. And I care about you. You know, my son came up to me the other day. This really struck me. Jeremy and I were in the kitchen. It was late the night before I left, and we were sitting eating some bean dip and chips at the table. I said, son, how you been? I said, I've been fine, Dad. So, well, how's your life going? How's things in your world? He goes, you know, Dad, he said, tell you something. He said, I've just been realizing lately, as I go to Normandale, just how empty people really are. Just how broken their lives really are. He said, you know something, Dad, about 3 months ago in my Spanish class, we were supposed to write a paper on the worst day of our life. And I said, you know what, Dad, I went to the teacher. I said, I don't have anything to write. She said, "Pardon me?" He says, "Ma'am," he says, I was 16 then. He says, I'm 16 years old, and I never had a bad day my whole life. Say this to me, I just almost started bawling. Because I sure remember some tough days. What I mean by that is I sure remember some days that I was being a real moron. But he said, "You know, Dad, I'm being honest with you. I just never had a bad day." He said, "My life is just so blessed. I've been so blessed by God. I have friends at school, Dad, you know, their families are falling apart. They get drunk every single weekend. They have sex with someone different every single weekend. They do drugs every single weekend. I'm just so blessed to know Christ." To know Christ, Dad. "I'm blessed because I have Christ in my life. And I've known the Lord, Dad, since I was about 5. Now, don't get me wrong. There have been things that have happened rough in Jeremy's life. He's had things done or said to him at the karate school or in the testing program or things that people have done to him that have been really hard. Here's the deal. He's never, ever let it carry over to another day. Ever. Ever! It's never gone on for more than an hour! He just regains his perspective. Just, Dad, God's just been so good to me. Challenge me. Man, it challenged me right down to my soul, the core of my being. And I just started thinking about that. I started thinking, you know, in 22 years that I've been walking with the Lord, there have been a lot of difficult things that have happened in my life. And there will be things as my son grows and goes through other passages of life that they're going to be hard. But I thought, you know, really, Lord, I mean, when we say bad day, like with the world bad day, no, I haven't had one of those days in 22 years. I mean, I've had rough days. I've had trials. But I've always had the knowledge and the awareness that whatever would come into my life, God allowed there. It wasn't an accident. I wasn't being a victim. I wasn't being victimized. Even though I felt like it and had to work through that process, I always arrived at the conclusion that God, a loving, tender, heavenly Father, is working in my life and allowing this for a good reason in my life. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3, or chapter 1, I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 1. You know, it's easy for us as we go on in our Christian life, and it's easy for me too, to be like the Israelites. We spent many, many years in Egypt. We were used and we used others. We were abused and we abused. We were cruel and we were treated with cruelty. We felt hopeless. We felt frustrated. We felt empty. And then, lo and behold, Moses led them out of the wilderness by the power of God. Lo and behold, we came to Christ. And everything was good for a while. And then we got out there in the wilderness. And didn't take too long till we got a little grumpy. We got a little frustrated. And all of a sudden, we became deluded and we said to ourselves, "I'd like to go back to Egypt. It was better back there." How soon we forget, don't we? How soon we forget what it was like to be lost. How soon we forget what it was like, the emptiness of secular living, even when you're a Christian. How soon we forget. Let's remember. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He's freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I read this, I'm touched. See, I remember just how wicked and how crummy and how godless I really was. I remember those days. Sometimes the old me still comes back up. And he's real ugly. The old Mark, to be honest, the one you seldom have ever seen, it's real, real, real ugly. Real, real mean. Real, real harsh. Real, real cruel. Just kind of sick. And in spite of that, in spite of that person, God picked me way before the world even began to be holy and blameless in His sight. Just like He picked you. And He canceled all my debt. Let me explain something to you about our debt with God. You know, there's people in society who just happen to get in debt because bad things happen to them. A health problem with a family member, or they're in a tragic accident, it wasn't their fault. The next thing you know, they're in debt. Or the storm comes and wipes them out, they didn't have flood insurance. Wasn't their fault at all. We have compassion on those kind of people, don't we? But my brother and sister, we weren't those kind of debtors. You know what kind of debtors we were? We're the kind of debtors that get as many credit cards as we can, and we deliberately go out and buy stuff we know we can't afford, and then we file bankruptcy. We don't have much compassion for those kind of debtors, do we? That's the kind of debtors we were to God. We used Him. We used what He gave us for the wrong purposes. We rebelled against His moral code. We just ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching on the credit card of God. And everything that He gave us, we used it for ourselves. And we abused for ourselves. You know what the Lord did? And then we went bankrupt. And then the Lord just came along with joy in His heart and lifted us up out of our bankruptcy and lifted us up out of our sin and put us on equal ground with Jesus Christ. Equal footing. Equal footing. I received a letter recently, and I won't get into the details of it, of a young person who wrote to me of some terrible thing that had happened in their life that they had done. And they were sharing with me, "Well, I've received these before. Mark, just I need your prayers. I need your help. I'm just struggling. I know God's forgiving, but it's so hard to believe it." You may be in that kind of situation tonight. I want to encourage you to do something. Believe it. Because it's true. Jesus Christ suffered enough for you. Believe it. As far as God the Father is concerned, you and Jesus are brothers. You're on the same plane. Irrespective of what you've done. Some of you here, you may have been immoral last week. Well, you know what? God's forgiven it. It's forgiven. It's forgotten. You are, in the sight of God, holy, blameless, wonderful. You're the perfect child. As far as God's concerned. Now the problem, of course, is that sometimes we're unwilling to see things the way God sees them. You can change in that. You really can. You really can. I mean, you got a choice. You either spend the rest of your life going, "I'm awful, I'm awful, I'm awful." Or you can spend the rest of your life going, "God says I'm wonderful, wonderful, wonderful." Now, I just think I'm going to believe that. See, you're not pre-programmed to be a loser. Can I just want to make this really clear to you. You're not pre-programmed to be a loser. You choose the programming by which you decide to live the rest of your life. Now, the difference between positive thinking and reality is that positive thinking in the world is telling yourself things that aren't true and pretending they are. The difference between the faith reality for the children of God is that all the positive things in the world really are true, and you need to tell yourself those things and believe them, whether you feel like them or not, because they are. They are. They're true. God has lavished on you every possible gift that He could possibly give to you. In Jeremiah 29:11, the Bible says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Not calamity, not disaster." You know, I know some Christians, and I know some of you may be in this room tonight, you're afraid. Someone said to me in the hallway Wednesday night, he said, "Mark, someone said to me," they were repeating what someone else said, "I sure hope this conference isn't about Mark telling us how God's will for us is all to stay single the rest of our life." You know, that did a couple things to me. One of the things it did was it just kind of broke my heart. That maybe I've gotten this reputation that I'm the hard guy. And you know, if you're going to come here to this conference, Mark's going to kick your butt. And second of all, though, what even broke my heart more was that you'd think that of the Lord. Was that you'd possibly think, you know, God just gets in there robbing us of joy in life. God just loves to withhold things from us. And I just know that's what He's going to do in me. I just know He is. Nothing could be further from the truth, brother and sister. God loves to give. God loves to give. Now, maybe one of the things God's doing in your life right now is just trying to help you appreciate what He's already given you. That alone is worth considerably more than a spouse. Maybe just if you come to that point in your life, it could change your life. Joy is a state of mind. It is a matter of perspective. See, with the Lord, no matter where you are in life, it's wonderful. Single or married, rich or poor, children or no children. Turn to Psalm 103 with me for just a moment. Psalm 103. This is a psalm that I reflect on quite often. I don't know if you read through the Psalms much, but you know, one of the things you'll find when you read the Psalms is David was really quite a thankful guy. David just had such a perspective about life, about God. He just always, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul." You know, when Saul's chasing him, trying to kill him, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. Be still, my soul. Find rest in God alone." Psalm 103, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." Don't forget any of them. He forgives all your sin. See that tonight, as you sit here in this auditorium, your whole life to God is all already over. See, I mean, when He died for your sin, you weren't even born. It was all future. All of your sins, all of them, from the time you were born to the time you died, all of them, He forgave them all. They're just all taken care of. They're just all completely forgiven. There aren't any left. There's not even an issue between you and God. The only issue is in your brain. There's no issue. There is nothing between you and your Heavenly Father. Not on His part. There may be on your part, not on His part. He heals all your diseases. Well, you may say, "Mark, oh, no, wait a minute. He does in His own time. And if He allows to let you keep one, He has a good reason for it." You know, I found out a week ago, I never knew this. I've known off and on I have back problems, but I didn't know exactly why. And I found out this last week, had some x-rays taken to my back, that I have this congenital back problem. I'm not afraid to ask questions. I'm kind of dumb, and I realize that. I said, could you tell me, what does congenital mean? Well, he said, well, it means from birth. It means it happened while you were in the womb. Your back formed wrong. And so you have a tilted pelvis, and your sacrum didn't know to become a sacrum, so it became something it shouldn't have on the left side, and so you're going to have problems the rest of your life. He said, well, that explains it. Does this mean the Lord's going to heal me of that? No, the Lord seemed fit to allow that. But ultimately, is the Lord going to heal me of that? He sure is. He's going to give me a brand new body. I'd call that healing. Wouldn't you? I call that healing. I don't care what it is you have for tonight. He will ultimately heal all of your diseases. And many of them He heals all the time. He redeems our life from the pit. I like that one. A lot of times we're in the pit. He can get you out of it. He crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things so your youth is renewed like the eagles. How many things, you know? Now look, if you ask me tonight, Mark, do you have everything you ever wanted? Are all of your dreams fulfilled? No. No. I haven't spoken to a crowd that fills the Metrodome yet. No. All my dreams aren't fulfilled. Okay? They're not. Just so you know that. Neither are yours. But, put that aside, He has satisfied me with many, many, many wonderful things. Has He not you? Of course He has. And your youth was renewed. Your vigor was renewed. You were encouraged because God satisfied you. Whether it was with food, whether it was a good time with friends, whether it was a raise in your job, whether it was just a job anyway. I remember when I got back from Honduras a year ago, I was sick. Like, I got sick for like 10 days. I thought I was going to die. I just laid curled up in a ball most of the day just moaning. Because you can't get rid of the parasite. Can't make it disappear. And I remember when it finally left and I could stand again. And I could go to the bathroom like normally. It was a wonderful thing. It was so invigorating when I could finally go work out again or just walk again. It made me so grateful. God has great plans for your life. And I just wanted to remind you of that tonight. Live, learn to live in the eternal reality of God. You know, I was at LT last year. LT is a Great Commission Ministries leadership training for college students. And it's been my privilege to be involved with that for the last 3 or 4 years. And so I was out there and I was walking back to my townhouse after one of the meetings. The young woman stopped me, who was at the meeting. She says, Mark, she's one of the staff wives, and she said, I got to tell you something. I said, well, what's that, Carol? She said, do you know, just about every time I've ever heard you talk, you find some way to work heaven into your teaching. And I said, do I really? She said, sometimes I don't know what I say. I mean, I don't remember everything I say is what I mean. I said, you know, I guess I hadn't thought about that. She says, you know what I realized, Mark, about you? She says, you think about heaven a lot, don't you? And I said, well, you know, now that you mention it, yeah, yes, I do. She said, you know, I need to think about heaven a lot more. I said, well, that's true. I said, you see, me thinking about heaven satisfies a lot of temporal problems for me. I project my future quite often on my life. The other day, my wife called. Just before I left, I got the screens on the house. I have a house where you have to take the windows off, put the screens on. Anyway, so I just got the screens on. It was 95 degrees yesterday in Human. We don't have air conditioning. She goes, Mark, it's so hot in here. The tree pollens. I can't hardly breathe. I said, honey, hallelujah, we're going to heaven. Just remember, Kathy, we're going to be in heaven. Okay, just remember, be lots of air conditioning there, sweetheart. Won't be any more tree pollen. Won't be any more of these kind of problems. We'll be in heaven. You may say, now Mark, A more loving thing to do would have been to get your wife an air conditioner. Well, I tried that. The problem is, the house is not wired to handle it, because it was built in 1942. So it burned the air conditioner up. Actually, I tried two of them before I realized that. So I had a big problem. I just keep reminding Kathy, Kathy, we're going to be with the Lord. I live in that reality. You see, there's a lot of things in the world I like to see. If I just operated in my secular mind, I wouldn't live in this state. I mean, only an idiot would live here. Where you freeze to death half the winter, you never see the sun, you never get to play outside, and in the summer, right now, we're going to get eaten alive all summer. You know that. You're not even going to be able to go outside and hardly have a picnic with anybody. You're just going to get bombarded. You know. But anyway, it builds character, right? Builds our character. Now, Minnesota is a beautiful place. Don't get me wrong. Nelson, I drove him around. He was overwhelmed by the beauty of the city. Compared to the city he's from, I mean, this place looks like we live on Bill Gates' personal private property compared to where Nelson lives. And I'm aware of that, and I'm very grateful for it. But there are places I would rather live. I would rather live in the mountains. I would rather have a ranch with horses. I would rather, when I wanted to, go out in the ocean and, you know, just sail and have someone else drive it. Am I going to do any of that? No. Do you know why? You know what keeps me centered? You know what keeps me focused? I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. My body's not going to get old, and there's not going to be any pain. And I'm going to be with all of you all the time. We'll be inseparable. Except we'll never grow tired of each other, because none of us will have the flesh, and we'll never get in the flesh. We'll just be the most loving, wonderful, perfect, harmonious people in all the universe. And you know something? I know it's hard for you to believe. You know, there are places on this planet that are so beautiful that if you just start to cry, you'd be so overwhelmed. You just stand there, your mouth would hang open, you just, this is unbelievable. Let me tell you something about heaven. The Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Let me just translate that for you. I try to picture heaven a lot. I believe that the Bible says clearly there's a new heaven and there's a new earth. Now, if you know anything about the galaxies, you know that there are more galaxies than we've even discovered. You know that they are billions and billions and billions of light years away, right? Planets and planets that we haven't even seen yet. So when the Bible says God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth, do you know what he's going to do? Can I explain this to you? I hope you can just grasp this just a little bit. Pluto, Venus, Mars, okay, all those. And then you know the Hubble telescope that sees the light years and the light years and the light years away. Those are all of them have been affected by sin. We're talking 25 billion trillion light year miles away. You know what God's going to do with all of them? Not just this little dinky planet Earth. The little dinky planet Earth is like this cup in relationship to this room. He's going to destroy them all. All of them. Every star, every galaxy, every universe. And then in a moment, he's going to make a brand new one that is far more expansive. And guess who it's going to be for? Some of you have a real perverted view of heaven. You think, you know, you're going to sit there playing a harp all day. Now, first of all, that won't be so bad. I mean, just worshiping here tonight is really edifying, right? So, you know, time is irrelevant in heaven. So who knows when they spend the first 1,000 years just praising God, singing nonstop. Of course, we might break for a year or two and have a meal. Because there will be food there. What I'm trying to say to you is that the worlds that God's going to have in heaven, that you're going to get to explore, that you're going to get to spend intimate time with your best friends in the world, make Hawaii look like a nuclear bomb zone. Now, the best that I try to describe to you, still, I don't capture it. And that's going to be yours, and guess what? It won't be very long. It won't be very long. And I'm going to get into that this weekend, how quickly our lives go by. But I want to tell you right now, it won't be very long. Some of you, you know you're getting old because you remember my kids when I first came and I had little babies. I don't have them anymore. And my oldest is 18 and you can hardly believe it. We're all getting old. I cannot believe it. But in just a few short years, I'll be there. So you know what that means? That means these little things that happen down here, they're really irrelevant. Because no one can take what I have coming to me. No one can touch your inheritance. No one can take it from you. Your car may break down. Maybe you're a single parent here today. Things have been rough financially for you. Let me tell you something. Just hold on. You just hold on. Because just basically like that, that's going to be very irrelevant in your life. And you know what helps me? As I live in that reality, my problems, they're pretty irrelevant. I'm one of the richest men in the world. And so are you. So are you. Well, I just want to encourage you as we close that God has something special He wants to do in your life this weekend. God wants to speak to you personally. He wants to speak to you intimately. He wants to talk to you. God has plans for your life, big plans for your life. And we're going to talk some about this weekend. Now, I want to encourage you to try to the best of your ability to come rested. I know that's going to be hard. You're here with your friends. But you try to get some sleep tonight. And before you come to the meeting tomorrow, why don't you just take a few minutes with the people you're with? You don't have to do this alone if you don't want to. But with the people that you're staying with, maybe you could just get in the kitchen together, or if you don't have a cabin with a kitchen, just sit on the edge of the beds together and just pray. God, speak to us this weekend. Lord, just speak to my heart. Open my eyes so I could see what you have for me. And then you come and I believe God will really speak to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you tonight for the extraordinary blessing that you've given us in Jesus Christ. I just thank you tonight, Lord, that you live inside of us. You comfort us. You guide us. Lord, we just acknowledge to you tonight how quickly sometimes we're like the Israelites. How easy it is, Lord, for me to whine and to complain. And yet, Lord, while I'm doing that, I'm sitting in the middle of all this wealth. All this love that you've given to me. And I have this God who is personally manipulating the world for my benefit. Pulling strings. Working behind the scenes. Providing every need for my family. Every need for my life. Every need for my soul. Every need for my church. Truly, Lord, we are the most blessed people on the planet. I just ask you, Lord, tonight, that you would touch each person's heart as they go back to their rooms this evening with how rich they really are, how blessed they really are. Just knowing there's not a thing in the world that you hold against us. No matter what we've done, Lord, whether we've been immoral or we've stole or we've killed or we swore or we were unfaithful, or we were an idolater. No matter what we've done, you have paid for it. It's a done deal. It's settled. And we are today holy and blameless in your eyes. And we have peace with you. You are at peace with us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have once and for all conquered Satan. That the evil one has no grasp on our life. He is like an armless, legless, toothless lion. And all he does is try to roar. But he can't touch us. We're yours. Thank you, Lord, tonight that we're the most precious possession in all the universe to you. Open our eyes. Bless this weekend, Lord. God, speak through me. I am just a frail clay pot. You're everything. Move mountains in our life this weekend. Touch us by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.